Yankees fan base and that stadium had been waiting for these big games now for years. So what did it feel like in the Bronx?
Well, the electricity was back in the Bronx. It was a cool night, a very cool night. It had that feeling of October crisp air and baseball when it really, really counts. The Cleveland Guardians are a team that the Yankees have dealt with in postseason in the past, so it was a familiar opponent. Many believe that the Tigers and the Royals did the dirty work to the Yankees this offseason by eliminating both Houston and the Baltimore Orioles. So the Yankees, who have had success against the Guardians, looked like a confident bunch tonight. The crowd looked like they expected a win out of the Yankees. So they came through with the win. Everybody's pleased. Now, tomorrow night, really the only starting pitcher that the Guardians have that could really, you know, name-wise, step up to one of the Yankee starters in Tanner Bibee, we'll see against Gerrit Cole, obviously the Yankees' ace, if they can head to Cleveland with a two-game lead.
How would you describe the start from Carlos Rodon?
Refreshing, because, and believe me, he needed it. It was interesting. Many questions were asked about his frame of mind, about, you know, being a little bit too amped up or hyped up in his start against the Royals, where he came out like a, you know, a ball of fire, striking guys out left and right, but he seemed to almost like run out of gas in the fourth inning. It was kind of early when, you know, it looked like his energy level really dropped because he was too amped up to that start in the, you know, the first time out against the Royals. Tonight he was much more under control. You could tell his body language was different. He was approaching hitters and results. His whole outlook after a strikeout, instead of, you know, all the mannerisms, you know, and all the machinations, he was much more in control of his emotions tonight, which is a very big deal with Rodon. Six innings tonight, just a home run. That's all he gave up. Now, if the Yankees can get this kind of production from Rodon, where he goes deep into the game, and as you know, Amy, going deep into a game these days is five, six innings is, oh, you know, he gave us a long quality start, especially in these playoffs where you're watching managers go to their pens in the third and fourth innings. But if he can deliver this kind of an outing again moving forward with Cole, and now we're going to see Luis Hill later on in this series, and Clark Schmidt, who's been very, very good, I give the Yankees a big-time shot to get past this series and into whoever plays, you know, comes in from the National League to play in the World Series.
As you use the phrase amped up, I'm thinking of Joey Cantillo, who had the two wild pitches and then allowed two runners to cross the plate. I actually said that out loud in my living room. I wonder if he's nervous and a little bit too hyped up, because that seemed to be a turning point in this game, Ricky.
In total, five wild pitches. I felt, you know, kind of bad for Bo Naylor, the first catcher tonight. They used Austin Hedges too later on in the game, and he had a couple of wild pitches come get by him too. In that big rally, the Yankees scored a few runs. They had the home run by Soto, and that was the only hit in the inning. Everything else was either a walk or runners advanced on wild pitches. So it was one of those nights where the offense really didn't break out. Both teams had six hits. The Yankees had the one error, which was the obstruction later on against Tim Hill. So it really wasn't a breakout night offensively. It's almost to a certain extent that the Guardians shot themselves in the foot.
It did feel like maybe there was a bit of anxiety with the Guardians. Their first ALCS is 2016, which means most of these guys have not been part of it.
Yeah, no, you're right. And the relievers that came in, you could tell everybody was a little bit too hyped up. The first reliever that you just mentioned, he kid from Hawaii, those pitches weren't even close, Amy. Those pitches were bouncing 2-3 feet in front of the plate. And when you come into a situation like that where your job is to just get through that inning and you throw more gas on the fire, obviously the emotions from the young man had to play a big role.
We're always excited to have Ricky Ricardo with us after hours with Amy Lawrence, fresh off the Spanish broadcast of Game 1 of the ALCS in the Bronx. It's been pretty impressive to see what Giancarlo Stanton has done so far this postseason. And in the past few years, when it felt like they didn't have enough offense, I know as long as he's healthy, he's pretty consistent in October. How much has he done, I guess, to drag the Yankees with him until the rest of the bats were also working?
We're still waiting for Judge to have a real breakout game that might get him out of his funk. You know, Anthony Volpe, nobody talks about Anthony Volpe. We haven't seen him do anything with the bat in quite a long time. Gleyber Torres has held up his end of the bargain out of that leadoff spot. He's been very, very good, although sometimes you get him in big situations and he goes after first pitches, and maybe he should have a little bit more discipline in big situations at the plate. But you are right. Giancarlo Stanton, for all the frustration that he has brought Yankee fans during the regular season, you know, we've all been waiting for that 59 home run season like he had at the end of his tenure with the Miami Marlins. We've been waiting to see that monstrous big season from Giancarlo. I'm not sure, Amy, if we're ever going to see that. He still has a few years left in that extremely long contract that he signed with Miami that got inherited by the Yankees a few years ago. But as long as he's going to produce in big games in October the way he's done right now, you can tell by his body language in the clubhouse. He's a very confident player in the month of October, and he's been a little bit more limber even. You know, you watched him steal a base earlier this postseason, which, you know, was unheard of during the regular season. Running down the line tonight, he looked a little bit more limber too. So Giancarlo Stanton has been the example to follow, and you watched Soto, who had good numbers against Alex Cobb. He was 7 out of 11. With a couple of home runs lifetime against Alex Cobb. He gets him again here tonight. But Giancarlo Stanton has been really the guy that has had the team on his shoulders. And hopefully at some point we get some more out of Judge and maybe some more out of some of the guys down lower into the lineup like Verdugo and Volpe, as I mentioned, who really haven't done much.
How does Judge respond when people ask him, is there something wrong? And why aren't you coming through? And why not the big hit? Those types of questions.
You know, I am so impressed by him, Amy. I'm glad you asked that because he has got such a mature, professional approach, you know, to questions about his productivity and lack thereof, obviously. And it's not just this year. It goes back. Remember, the Yankees weren't even in the postseason last year. So you've got to really, you know, go into the memory banks to realize that Judge just has not been the same player in postseason play. But the way he deals with everything. Look, he never gets too high when he's going great. He never gets too low and too negative when things are not going well for him. He's very even-keeled, mild-mannered. Look, if there's a storm brewing inside of him one way or the other, you're never going to tell from the facade on the outside, which is something that is so impressive about him. His outward look, his outward approach to you when you ask him, you know, either you're about to hit your next record-breaking home run or why the heck aren't you doing anything, you get the same guy. The consistency in his approach in good times and his bad is just very, very impressive.
You get the impression that at this point in his career, what he cares most about is winning, Ricky. He honestly just wants to win. And obviously the Yankees aren't here if not for Aaron Judge. But it seems like it matters far more to him, the final outcome, than individual stats.
You know, Amy, I've watched him from the time he first was invited to big league camp in Tampa. When he hit a ball, I remember the Yankees in a spring training game were playing the Philadelphia Phillies. And it was 1-0. You know, in spring training games, the managers, if it's tied after the ninth inning, they'll just say, hey, we're done. You know, we ran out of pitchers or whatever it might be. Let's call it a day. The game is tied. But it was 1-0 in the ninth. And here comes this kid, Aaron Judge, wearing number 99. He comes up and hits a ball. I don't know if you've ever been to the Clearwater facility where the Phillies play. But the Highway 19, is out beyond the center field fence. A few hundred feet. Well, maybe 100 feet behind the wall in center field. He hit a ball in that ninth inning that landed on that highway. It eventually landed on Highway 19.
Whoa.
And it tied the game at one. And everyone around there looked at what the heck was that we just saw. From the time that I met him there, when he was first invited to Major League Camp, to the man that I see now, you see the maturation process, not just as a player, but as a human being, as a man, and now as a captain of the team, you have watched him become that responsible figurehead leadership type of personality that he has really embraced since he was named the captain. He has really grown into it, and you're absolutely right. Winning is the main objective for Aaron Judge. If he contributes, he's pleased. If he's not, and his teammates are, you know, are picking him up, he's just as happy for them. Obviously, he's a proud athlete. He wants to contribute. I'm going to bet you the rants that he's going to at some point. But winning is the key thing to him. Putting a ring on, 28th World Series championship, that's priority number one for Aaron Judge.
Ricky Ricardo is with us, fresh off game one of the ALCS after hours with Amy Lawrence. They're definitely compiling the walks, right? So they've got 36 walks now in just the five postseason games. What does that tell you?
They're taking very disciplined at-bats. They're going back to, if you remember years ago when those Yankees-Red Sox games, those classic year after year after year, Yankee-Red Sox games used to be 4 hours, sometimes 4 hours, 15 minutes. And both teams worked the count, fouled pitches off, and got in, tried anyway to get into the other team's bullpen as early as possible. That was the game plan in the Joe Torre and into the Joe Girardi years. You're seeing that again. You're watching Yankee hitters work the count. They take the time out when it's strategically the best time to do it, and they're at best. Soto is the king of this. Every Juan Soto at bat is a chess match against the opposing pitcher, the umpire, a conversation with the catcher. He owns every at bat in every way that you can imagine, and that has rubbed off on a lot of the Yankee hitters, where every at bat is a chess match. It's a duel to the death with that pitcher. They work the count as deep as possible. They foul pitches off. Yankee games are lasting longer than some of the other postseason games because of the quality of at bat that each and every guy is taking. A lot of walks, a lot of foul balls, waiting to get the right pitch to hit, and you're watching the discipline at home plate really manifest itself here in the postseason.
What's dangerous about the Guardians?
The bullpen. They've got a couple of big-time players. Jose Ramirez, which is an MVP candidate and obviously their best player, has been kept under wraps, first by the Detroit Tiger pitching in that series. And again tonight, he came up as the tying run late in the game with a couple of men on in the eighth inning, and they were able to get him on a little dribbler to second base. He is a top 10 player in all of Major League Baseball. Josh Naylor, over 100 RBIs. If you can shut down about two, three of their guys in the lineup, then really their other strength is their bullpen. They've got an outstanding bullpen. Hard throwers, guys that throw strikes. You'll see tomorrow night, you saw it tonight where Cobb came out of the game very early because Stephen Vogt does not mind getting into his bullpen at whatever point in the ballgame. They've got a tremendous set of arms in that pen. That's really the one thing to be concerned about with the Guardians is that if they get a lead, they're coming in with a lot of hard-throwing, very talented young bullpen arms. But if you can control the Ramirez's and Kwans and Naylor's offensively, there's really not much beyond that.
Ricky Ricardo will be on the mic for the Spanish broadcast of every game still remaining in the Yankee season. It's always good to have him with us after hours with Amy Lawrence. You're also the Spanish voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, and they're coming off a victory over the Browns. Man, this was a little tense until the end. What stands out about their latest win?
Ooh, it's funny. Someone mentioned to me yesterday when I was doing the postgame show, when I was going through the scoreboard, where the Commanders, who obviously are leading the NFC East, lost to the Ravens. And my guest said, it almost feels like the Commanders had a great loss and the Eagles had a terrible win. It makes no sense, but the Eagle win against the Browns was a very ugly win. You had the antics by the head coach, Nick Sirianni, engaging some of the fans, Philadelphia fans, Amy, as you know, they can be very, very hard on their own. Now,
yes,
if you win in Philadelphia, you bust your hump in Philadelphia, you give 100% effort, and if you're real with them and you're not phony, and they can tell the difference, then you'll never have to buy a drink in that town again, like Nick Foles, for example. Some of the fans were getting on the team. They started a fire Nick Sirianni chant, and Nick, unfortunately, let his emotions get the best of him towards the end of the game, and started engaging with the fans, going back at them. Some of the fans that were shouting some things or maybe booing during the game, he did apologize during his presser on Monday. But sometimes Nick Sirianni needs to get a hold of his own emotions a little bit better than he's done in the past. But the team is still trying to work itself out. Vic Fangio, new defensive coordinator. Kellen Moore, new on the offensive side. Through five games in these first 6 weeks, they've already had their bye week, and they'll face the Giants this coming Sunday in their first division game of the season. But they're not quite where they want to be just yet. Jalen Hurts, not the same guy we saw a couple of years ago. Having A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith back was huge. But the loss of Dallas Goedert in this game on Sunday against the Browns with a hamstring issue, and Jordan Mailata, their outstanding left tackle, that's going to be an issue going forward here in the next couple of weeks.
Still, though, how good to have both A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith back on the field together.
Oh, it's great. And then when you pair that with how good Saquon Barkley has been, and Saquon, with these guys injured, has been a savior. The Eagle offense has been sputtering except for one Saquon Barkley, a tremendous signing in the offseason by Howie Roseman. And having that trio back, it kind of reminds you of Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin, and, you know, that whole group when they had those triplets in Dallas. It's the Eagle version of that with Barkley, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. Dallas Goedert is the perfect complement, but we had Grant Calcaterra step in and made a couple of big-time catches out of the tight end position on Sunday against the Browns. Look, he's not Dallas Goedert, but you're absolutely right. The confidence level for Jalen Hurts goes way, way up when he knows he can throw the ball in the direction of a guy like A.J. Brown, and 9 times out of 10, he's going to come down with it.
The whole division's kind of jumbled up together, except for maybe the Giants. Ricky, what do you think about the East?
I think eventually, when the smoke clears, the Eagles were favored to win the division. Now, they'll have a couple of big-time battles against the Commanders. There's a Thursday night, I think it's about 4 or 5 weeks away. The Eagles will welcome the Commanders in on one of those prime Thursday nights, which is going to be a huge game. They'll see them again later on. But don't discount the Giants. This is a week-to-week league, Amy, as you know. All division games are battles. They're tough. This Sunday afternoon coming up at the Meadowlands, and Brian Daboll is going to have his team ready. They're going to have their backs against the wall. The Eagles coming off, like I said, a very non-satisfactory kind of win that left kind of a bad taste in their mouth against the Browns this past Sunday. They're going to be looking for a better performance. It's going to be a pretty good game, I think, coming up on Sunday.
Those rivalries are delicious. Ricky Ricardo will call the game for the Eagles on their Spanish broadcast. And, of course, is mixing in the ALCS. Man, I hope you don't have any conflicts. What happens if you've got a Yankees and Eagles on the same day?
No, luckily this year the National League is playing on Sundays. The Yankees, even if they get to, even if a sixth game is necessary, that would be on Monday. So we'll fly back from Cleveland on Saturday night, if there is a fifth game. If there's a fifth game, we'll fly back from Cleveland on Saturday night. Not a long flight. So I'll be able to run over to the Meadowlands. My apartment's about 15 minutes away from MetLife Stadium. So we'll be home late Saturday night. I'll get up early Sunday, run over to the Meadowlands, do the game, Eagles-Giants. I'll do my WIP show, part of our Odyssey family down in Philadelphia. But I do that, you know, remotely anyway, and then we'll get ready if need be for a sixth game on Monday night at Yankee Stadium. Obviously, this time of year, I'm pretty busy.
You can hear him everywhere, as it turns out, ALCS and NFL and online at @RR_Ricardo FAN. Ricky Ricardo has got the Spanish broadcast of both Yankees and Eagles, is a busy guy, so we appreciate these few minutes. Ricky, thank you so much. Good to talk to you.
Amy, anytime for you.